To limit the spread of COVID-19, state officials are urging people in Wisconsin to stay home this Thanksgiving and avoid the big traditional gatherings. They're not saying don't celebrate at all. Among their ideas, have virtual gatherings, deliver food and treats to loved ones in a way that avoids contact, maybe shop online, watch sports and other stuff on the TV. Governor Evers says while difficult, the actions we take now will ensure we can celebrate together later. We thought it'd be a good time to talk about some ways to make our holiday more fun and how to make a small Thanksgiving dinner. Who needs an entire bird for just two people, say? Well, good news. America's Test Kitchen is on top of both of those angles. You could join in at 800-642-1234. How have you adjusted your Thanksgiving plans? Do you have some fun ideas to make the day more special? Big virtual dinner? And what is on your menu? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Brian Roof is the executive food editor for Cook's Country magazine and an on-screen test cook for the public TV show Cook's Country. They're part of the America's Test Kitchen franchise. Brian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me, man.
Well, are you ready for a small, quiet Thanksgiving yourself?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of welcoming it. It's going to be a nice change. I usually have a ton of people here. And so I'm actually looking forward to having something a little bit more quiet and subdued, but still, you know, packed with a lot of good food and a lot of fun just for the immediate family. So, yeah, it'll be all right.
In my household, you know, there's four of us, and I got to say we have not arrived at a conclusion of what we want to make on Thanksgiving. Do you have your menu roughly lined up yet?
You know, it's mostly set in place. I mean, I have a few key items like rather than turkey, I always smoke ducks. That's a big thing in my family. And aside from that, there'll be cornbread stuffing. But aside from those two things, you know, we're going to kind of keep it loose. And I'm going to let the kids pick out some items that they'd like to try. And I'm going to get them involved in the kitchen as well to kind of spread the fun out.
Well, that reminds me, America's Test Kitchen posted a bunch of ideas on how to make Thanksgiving more fun. We've got a link over at WPR.org/Central Time. And you just said one of them, make cooking a team effort, get everybody, kids included, involved in the process. Talk more about why you wanted to do that.
Well, my kids already have this attachment to cooking, you know, because they live with me and I cook all the time, but they actually enjoy it. They enjoy getting in there, getting their hands dirty. I have two of them that absolutely love desserts, and I don't know if you've ever made pies or desserts in general, but they take a lot of time. So that's a good way to keep them occupied for several hours at a time. So that's always nice. And then I have one kid who's just absolutely enamored with savory cooking. So, you know, he jumps in and gets creative. And I think at a time like this, when you're not having a big crowd, you don't have to stress about, you know, hitting all the sweet spots for your uncle that's coming over and he always wants gravy. You know, I think now is a good time to let people experiment with the menu, and bringing the kids into the kitchen and letting them have a say in what you're making is a real good way to do that.
Part of the fun of Thanksgiving, I think, sometimes is the production that goes into it. Is this a good time to maybe make that thing that we wouldn't, you know, rush to make on a dinner starting at 5 p.m. on Wednesday, on a normal Wednesday? We could still put some effort into it, even if it's not producing mass quantities of turkey, say.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, even more reason. You know, there's no pressure on this day, really. You don't have a bunch of people coming over. So you can think of it as just any other weekend dinner. You know, it's like a Saturday dinner. Maybe you're going to start preparing a little bit earlier. Maybe you're going to pick a recipe that takes a little bit more effort. But in general, I think you're going to have the time to make it, and you don't have to make a great quantity. So it's going to turn into, you know, a slightly easier project than biting off a whole massive Thanksgiving dinner for a lot of people.
We are talking about making a fun, but if downsized, Thanksgiving event, a meal and beyond. Brian Roof is with us from Cook's Country magazine and the public TV show Cook's Country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How are you changing your Thanksgiving plans? What is on the menu? Are you doing all the traditional favorites or trying something new? And are you doing things to make it more fun, even if it's not as many people as usual, or to make it a big event, maybe with online connection with others. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Another suggestion, Brian, from that list that we link to at WPR.org/Central Time is the idea of having a signature beverage to make the meal a little more special. What kind of things can we think about?
Well, you know, obviously, when you say signature beverage, we all think of cocktails. But, you know, if it's just you and your spouse, then and you have a bunch of kids around your house like I do, then you're going to have to come up with a great mocktail. You know, something, no alcohol, but the kids will really enjoy. So I just take a ton of different juices, mix them up and keep them in the fridge all day and, you know, garnish them really fancy with some umbrellas or something. So the kids feel like they're really involved in, you know, having a little bit of fun with that. But in general, my wife and I will either crack open a bottle of wine or we'll make a special cocktail for us, you know, similar to what we make for the kids, but with alcohol in ours.
Well, we've got a few recipes from America's Test Kitchen. We've got them posted at WPR.org/Food Friday. And one of them answers the question of, hey, I want turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't want to make a whole turkey for not many people. This is a slow cooker turkey breast. By the way, our producer Bill Martins says he made this a few years ago. It was fantastic, and he's doing it this year. What's the key to getting a really good, flavorful turkey breast in the slow cooker?
Well, the slow cooker gets a bad rap a lot of the times, but it's actually the perfect way to cook a turkey breast because it's a low temperature environment. It's steamy, so you gently bring the meat up to temperature. You know, the recipe that you're talking about has, you know, aggressive seasoning on the bird under the skin, and it makes a really flavorful gravy. So really, the key is just to follow that recipe. The recipe takes care of itself, and, you know, you're not going to save any time, but, you know, cooking a turkey in the oven takes you 4 hours anyway. So by doing this, you free up your oven space to make a pie or to make sweet potatoes or whatever else you might be making that day. So it's a solid recipe.
I just did turkey actually in the crock pot this last weekend, not as a special meal. I got one of those, they call it a turkey tenderloin, and I think it's pre-marinated. The America's Test Kitchen recipe, and I might follow up on this, says don't get necessarily those pre-marinated ones. What kind of things do you do to prep the turkey breast?
You know, for me in general, I tend to recommend just salt. It's a safe bet. If you want to add herbs, thyme or rosemary, always great, and pepper. But in general, keep it simple. You can change up your accompanying sauce. And rather than doing a gravy, you could do some kind of a chimichurri, like the Argentine parsley cilantro sauce. To kind of mix it up. But in general, salt it overnight. That salt really helps change the structure of the proteins so that turkey, as it cooks, holds on to more moisture. And it also obviously seasons the turkey. But yeah, salt is key. Do that a day ahead if you can. And then if you want to mix it up, you can also throw on other spices like a Cajun spice rub or Greek seasoning rub. The turkey is really... it's kind of a blank canvas, so you could really have fun with it. Whatever you typically enjoy in your normal day-to-day, out of your spice cabinet, you could add to the turkey.
And then with the turkey, there's a good chance we'll want some potatoes. And another recipe we've posted from you all is the garlic parmesan mashed potatoes. I like the sound of it. Walk us through the basic concept here.
Yeah, so this is a great recipe because it pulls out an ingredient that I think all of us have in our spice cabinet, but we're all kind of embarrassed to use, and that's garlic powder. So the great
I'm
thing here is that I love this stuff. I grew up with it. So the great thing here is that one, that we use it, two, that you get two different levels of garlic flavor in these mashed potatoes. So we take a little bit of garlic powder, we activate it with a little bit of water, make a paste with it. And then we also add fresh garlic to this potato. So the potatoes are just simply boiled and you process them through a ricer, which is like a giant garlic press, if you will, until they're nice and smooth. But you could also just mash them up with a regular old potato masher, add a little bit of butter, the garlic powder that's now turned into a paste, and some freshman's garlic along with some milk. And it's super easy recipe. I mean, and the great thing about it is it doesn't make a ton. It's just perfect for a smaller Thanksgiving like this year.
Sounds great. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Michael is with us in Madison. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Hey, this is a great conversation. My significant other and I have been doing two-person Thanksgivings for years. And we love the cooking process, and we make a 25-pound turkey.
Wow.
We enjoy cooking throughout the day. And then we have Thanksgiving for, you know, we freeze little pieces of it, and you have great meals in the future until Christmas. And so I don't think you should change anything. Continue to enjoy the pies, the stuffings, the gravies, and just do as you normally do.
I love it, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. So that is another way to go, Brian. Still go all out, still cook the same amount of stuff, and then freeze it and keep pulling it out through the next month or two.
Mm-hmm. I have to say it's a pretty good idea, and I pretty much agree with him. I mean, especially in my case, when I do those ducks, it's something I do once a year. So I'm going to make extra, and I don't mind eating that same meal, you know, at least for the next 3 or 4 days. But freezing it, we've done that in the past, especially with the stuffing. I think it's a great move. You know, I don't tend to keep anything in the freezer for longer than 2 months, you know, so I wouldn't mm-hmm. freeze a great quantity of it. But, you know, because after 2 months, it starts to affect the flavor of the food. But I think that's a good idea.
We're picking up our talk now on how to celebrate Thanksgiving this year because of the pandemic. Health officials are saying you're best off staying home, limiting gatherings to the people you live with. Brian Roof is our guest. He's got some ideas to help make that a fun meal. He's executive food editor for Cook's Country magazine, an on-screen test cook for the public TV show Cook's Country. And you can join in. Tell us what you are looking at doing on Thanksgiving. How are you going to try to make that smaller gathering fun? And what is on the menu? Or call in with a question. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls. Russ is with us in Stoughton. Russ, hi.
Hi. I have two suggestions. The first one is for what you drink at the Thanksgiving table. Years ago, our family, which wasn't big wine drinkers, and normally you might have some kind of a light white wine with turkey or fowl, and we switched over to a sparkling white grape, which tastes amazingly like wine, and you can barely tell the difference, and you don't have to worry about driving home if you had too much sparkling grape.
That does make it special. You said you had two suggestions, Russ?
Yeah. Years ago, my sister, who lives by herself, and I do now, and I won't be going down to Illinois to see my sons this year. She makes she gets a full-size, just a turkey breast, and she stuffs it, and I do too. And what she discovered from some recipe from somebody years back is she takes a room temperature stick of butter, rubs the entire inside and outside of a typical brown grocery bag, shoves the turkey breast in there with some butter pads and maybe some water, and then she staples the end shut, shoves it in the oven, and it comes out perfect every time.
Wow.
I don't know what the times are, but it decreases the cooking time, that's for sure.
Russ, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Brian, have you heard of that, turkey in a bag?
You know, I've heard of turkey in one of those clear oven bags, you know, the plastic-type bags, but I've never heard of it in a paper bag. I've heard of apple pie in a paper bag, but never a turkey. I would just say that I think that's an exciting idea, and I would love to try it. I think just from my experience with the apple pie in the bag is that you have to make sure that there's no print on the outside of that bag, because that could be a little slightly toxic, but, you know, don't let that ruin your Thanksgiving either. But that's an interesting idea.
And, you know, something as simple as, and that was a big hit for my kids for a long time, like sparkling cider, sparkling grape juice. It doesn't really cost that much in the scope of things for a meal, less than wine. But it does make it feel a little fancier, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, fancy glasses, little garnishes in the cups or stemmed wine glasses, I think. Yeah, it helps, you know, make the day feel a little bit more special, especially for the kids.
Now, you mentioned the apple pie. Well, you've given us a recipe at America's Test Kitchen for pecan pie or pecan pie. I've heard both. I think I say both.
Yeah.
How do you say it? And tell us a little bit about the pie.
Right. I say a pecan pie. I had to do an interview with Georgia Public Television at one point, and I really made sure I knew how to say it before I met with the folks from Georgia. The pecan pie, this is a fantastic recipe. It's one of our older recipes in the America's Test Kitchen archive. And it's, you know, stood the test of time because it is fantastic. It's simple. The hardest part of the recipe is actually just, you know, dealing with pie crust. But, you know, if you have the time to mess around with it, and the recipe instructions are very clear and simple, it's a fantastic recipe. And we even have recipes for chocolate pecan pie on the website, too, that people should check out.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. Let's go to Allison with us now in Menominee Falls. Allison, hello.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about Allison?
I am, first of all, a huge Test Kitchen fan. So I'm excited to speak to anybody from the Test Kitchen and speak to professionals. But I'd love advice on things that I could whole roast this season. I'm hosting for the first time, and I'm hosting for my husband and my two kids. So it's not a big family like we usually get together, but it's looking different. But I'm excited to try something new and try new recipes.
And are you looking to roast a big piece of meat, Allison? Is that what you're looking for here?
Well, I was thinking a bird is kind of, you know, what you usually would cook, but I'm interested in doing something maybe a little different, like whole roasting a branzino or something of that fare.
Okay. Yeah. Allison, thanks. There's your challenge. Brian, give us Allison some inspiration for maybe some counter programming on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great idea. Like I said before, this is actually a perfect time for people who don't always want to have the standard Thanksgiving meal to start experimenting a little bit. So I think we've got some recipe for whole roasted fish at the ATK website. That I think is a fantastic idea. Prime rib is always nice. I mean, we just, in the most recent issue of Cook's Country, came out with a, I guess you would call it one of the easiest boneless prime rib recipes we've ever done. It's, you just set the oven, turn it off after a few minutes, and just let the thing glide up to a perfect medium rare. So that's a fun one. You know, and don't overlook whole roasted chicken. I know it sounds boring, but there's something really, really nice, especially if you just have four or five people, about doing a perfectly roasted whole chicken. Seasoned aggressively, make a nice fancy sauce for it. Like I said earlier, a chimichurri goes wonderful with that. But yeah, I think any of those items, a pork loin is pretty affordable, and pork loin with 40 cloves of garlic or something would be nice. And that's got that whole appeal of bring a big fat roast to the table. So any of those items I think would be wonderful.
All right. Hope that helps, Allison. And Brian, my pratfall with roasting that chicken is sometimes it comes out a little dry when I do it. How do we avoid that?
Well, you know what? I have this thing that at one point when I visited Madison, I had this conversation with one of your local chefs there, and he swore up and down that there was no perfect way to roast a chicken. And I disagree with him with all due respect, you know, but you know, you just have to monitor. You have to get yourself a reliable thermometer, and you have to temp it. You know, I roast a chicken many different ways, but in general, I throw it into a 400 degree oven, and I buy about a 4 pound bird, throw it into a 400 degree oven. And on average, it takes about 1 hour to cook. You want to temp it in the thigh to make sure the thigh comes up to temperature. And that's the most important part there, because the breast will tend to cook pretty quickly. But you want to bring that thigh joint up to about 175 degrees. And at that point, the breast should simultaneously reach its desired temperature of 160 degrees. Then you pull it out, let it sit for about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes. You have some time there because it's still pretty hot. And, you know, I would say that I've never really encountered a dry one. You know, I have pretty good luck with it. So,
excellent. In our last few moments, Brian, do you have plans to reach out to other people, even if you're not gathering in person, on the holiday itself?
Yeah, you know, we're going to do, I just spoke about the desserts earlier that my kids are going to make, and we're going to do a dessert drop-off and some side dish exchanges with some of our friends, you know, at a safe distance. You know, we're going to Zoom with some of my siblings and my cousins, you know, just to kind of connect with everybody. We won't spend, you know, hours on end doing it, but just a little pop online to say, you know, hello to everybody and wish you well. And then, you know, I think when we're in the backyard, we'll see our neighbors and give them a wave. And we always have oysters and cold beer out there. So we'll probably bring them a little care platter, to share.
Sounds great.
At a safe distance.
Sounds great, Brian. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Take care.
You too. That's Brian Roof with America's Test Kitchen and Cook's Country. Or make sure our producers give him my address for that dessert drop-off. We talked to him about how to plan a smaller-scale Thanksgiving dinner and make the day feel special. Find three recipes they shared at WPR.org/food Friday. Slow cooker turkey breast with gravy, garlic parmesan mashed potatoes, and perfect pecan pie. You can also find a list of great ideas to make Thanksgiving fun at WPR.org/centraltime.